This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, David, and thank you for this introduction. And we are talking about a very emotive subject, and I'm sure that a lot of you out there are going to be really concerned about this. And this is the battle for the children. And it's not just a battle for the children in this world, even though this is the biggest battle, but it's a battle for our own children as well, you know, children which grow up within the church. And there are some studies going around which are quite unnerving, that by the time children go to college, or our kids go to college, that 2/3 of them will walk away from the faith. So they grow up in the church. They're not really prepared. They get pretty much all the ideas about God, the Bible, and everything given. And then, you know, they grow up, and the natural thing is they become teenagers. They start to rebel. They try to swim free from their parents, and that's just in the nature of things. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's important and good that our kids find their independence as well. And then they go to college. They get exposed to a lot of, godless professors who ridicule them for their faith, and I think in America it's quite big. In Britain, quite big as well, because pretty much all of our educational system here in Britain is agnostic, and sort of the agnostic view is very much pushed within our system, and people get off. But I don't want to talk sort of too much about the education system, which is leading people away from Christ. But today I want to focus on the media, and that is sort of very, very disturbing, what is put in the media. I never sort of realized, I grew up, just to give you a little bit of a personal story, I grew up loving television. I don't know why I had a real affinity for the media, for radio and television. It was my world. It was very important to me as a kid, maybe more important than many other kids as well. So I was, when I grew up, we only had three TV channels at the time. So my growing up period was the early to mid to late 70s and early 80s. So that's sort of my childhood period. And in the 70s, we only had three channels. We only had a monochrome television, so it was just black and white. And in the 80s, the number of channels sort of increased. I think we started getting a few more. We had like two private channels, which we could receive via antenna, and then, but that's sort of my late childhood period. So we had like satellite television, not satellite television. There was one channel called Sat1, I think, and RTL. So there were a few more channels. So we had about five, maybe six channels, a little bit more. Okay, so that's my childhood. Now my thing about the childhood was, and I have to explain. So television started at 6 o'clock at night. So you had a few children's programs. Some of you may still remember this, like Sesame Street and a few other things, which was hailed to be really good. But when you looked at sort of what it really did, wasn't really that amazing. And then a couple of other sort of soft programs, and you had like Oliver Hardy and Stan Laurel and a couple of things. And then the adult stuff started a bit later on. So that was sort of 7-ish, when kids should be in bed. Yeah, like a couple of hours night television, and then pretty much was finished around about midnight. Yeah. So that's really the way it worked. And weekends, it went a bit longer. So it went till about maybe 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And then you had the test image. Quite interesting. So today you couldn't perceive the way television was run in the 70s and in the 80s. It was pretty much state controlled, and the state had an interest to, to keep programs clean, good, and healthy and wholesome. And when I sort of look back, I pretty much think that was the case. Yeah, I didn't, even with hindsight, the benefit of hindsight, I didn't consider it to be too detrimental. There were a couple of children programs which were almost socialist programs. They had like little songs and little phrases which, you know, could have been ideal in some radical socialist republic. And I didn't sort of latch onto it as a kid, obviously. I was just lapping it all up. But I remember my father saying that what these guys are, and he was saying it to my mother, and I sort of remember this conversation what these guys are spouting out is just like pure socialist doctrine. And they put this on German television. And why should they do this? Okay, so that is my background. So nothing too detrimental, too tragic. Most of television was just a little bit of fun, a few jokes here and there. There wasn't that much indoctrination going on, even though I still remember, you know, those socialist songs which were there. It talked about, you know, the whole thing about property and not having collective property. And if you want to run over a lawn, you would have to buy it, you know. And this was sort of in a very derogative tone, sung in a very derogative tone. So to say, like, this is all wrong, you know, there should be communal grounds and you shouldn't need to buy this. That was sort of the message which came out of it. Interestingly, I've still got the melody in my song. I could still sing the song to you, partly. And I sort of remember a little bit about the stories and the images they had there and so on. I should check it out on YouTube to see whether these shows are still there and go into it a little bit, try and analyze it a bit more. Okay, but nothing too detrimental. That's what I would say. Okay, go forward to 2015. 2015, round about there. A friend of mine has got a kid, you know, 6 years old or 7 years old, and I was spending some time sort of helping out and looking after the kid. I got exposed to children's television, and some of the stuff I saw, I just couldn't believe it. He was, again, just lapping it all up. You know, that was his little world. That was his television world. And all I got was just children who were, how shall I say this? You know, little girls, maybe, you know, 7, 8 years old, lots of makeup, all dolled up, sexualized to a certain extent. They were together with lots of other kids in some flat somewhere. They had like lots of, you know, jokes and things like that with the artificial laughter, you know, the laughter box in the background. And then there were some adults as well. And it always turned out, you know, clever kids, stupid adults. You know, the kids were doing some fun stuff and had little projects here and there. And the adults were just really stupid and they were disrespected. The kids were rebelling against them. And the whole message was, you know, clever kids, they know it all, really stupid adults, and the grown-ups were just really lame, stupid, and you had to sort of trick them out and not do whatever they told you to do. Okay, so that was the theme all the time. And then the next thing was that some of the stuff which was sort of portrayed was, how shall I say this without being too offensive, but the way I perceived it was just really adult themes within the environment of little kids. And I just couldn't believe it, you know, what went on is all about relationships and this stuff. What shouldn't be of any relevance to a 7 or 8 year old, yeah? It shouldn't bother him, you know. That's not the world of an 8 year old, but yet this was portrayed. And I don't know who the program makers were. I think a lot of it came from Disney, but there were lots of other channels were just the same thing. That was like real actors, you know, child actors which were doing this stuff. Then I was looking at some of the animated stuff as well, and a similar story, you know, a similar story where instead of sort of training a high moral codex, which would be desirable. To tell kids to listen to their parents, to try and educate them, to give them moral standards, to be sharing, giving, to be true to your word, to be upright, to be righteous, to be good, to be caring. Yeah. Very little of that. But instead it was all about being devious, of tricking one another, of doing something and, you know, outdoing somebody else, being proud, being boastful, and always picking on somebody who's a bit more stupid. So it's for me, it was quite shocking to see what is going on in children's television today. And now here's the problem, yeah, the biggest problem. You send your kid to school, and we're going to talk about education in the next talk and some of the stuff that's going on in education. But you send your kid to school, and your teachers have got control over your kids for a good 20, 30 hours per week. Then the kids come home. They are tired. They need to relax. They turn on the television. They get into, and this is the crazy thing about the media. They get into this this relaxed mode where all critical analysis just drops, you know, drops out. And you get into this sort of semi-hypnotic mode where you gobble up everything that's presented to you. And kids do this, yeah? I mean, adults do this as well, even though adults may have the ability to be a little bit more critical. But kids just gobble it all up, and to them that is the standard. So that is their life. So it's education, yeah, whatever they're told there. And if you are, if they're in a good school, good. If they're in a bad school where secular standards are taught and indoctrinated into them, it's bad, you know. Then they go home, they watch these children's programs, which are full of rebellion and full of, you know, be sly, be mean, and all this stuff. And they get indoctrinated by this stuff as well. And then they may have like 1 or 2 hours with their parents per week. So when you add it all together, so maybe a week, kids spend about 10, 15 hours, you know, intensive quality time with the parents to try and teach them. But they spend about twice this amount of time in front of the television and being exposed to media, who's just teaching them to be bad, lousy, to be, you know, getting into relationships, to be sexualized, to become an object of desire for girls and for boys to kind of be a little bit sort of less masculine or something. It's really, really bizarre sort of when you see what is going on in those children's programs. Okay. We are talking about the Christian War Room, and it's important. What do we need to do? My first thing is what I would suggest to you. If you are a parent and you've got a child, I would spend some time watching with your child those programs with a critical eye and see what is really piped down in those programs. And all I'm doing is I'm making general statements, and it's very subjective, it's anecdotal, it's stuff I've seen and which disturbed me, and I wanted to do something about it. Yeah. But obviously you may be listening in America. You may be listening in the UK, you may be listening in some other country where maybe the situation is slightly different and the children's programs, which I doubt, but they may be better, maybe more relevant and more positive, you know, to train your child in the way it should go. But what to do? I mean, my suggestion to you is, first of all, analyze these programs. And also, if you are, you know, setting up your own Christian war room, which I would highly encourage you to do if you've got a church and you've got youngsters in there, this might be a really interesting subject, that you get a team of youngsters to just analyze some of these kids' programs which are played out on television, and to spend some time just watching them and seeing what is the message they're really conveying. What is the message? Is it a message of being good, of being, you know, obedient children, of being respectful to those who are older than you? Or is it a message of dissipation, you know, a message of rebellion, of taking on authority and trying to undermine authority? What is it? Yeah, and then maybe start listing those programs and, you know, get some war room activity going and publicize it. And you would help parents immensely if you could just tell them and say, look, this particular program is really, really bad. This is what they are doing. That program is a little bit better. You know, it's more positive. It's not quite as destructive as other programs, and to maybe have some sort of listing system, to have some sort of league table of which programs are good for your kids and which programs are bad for your kids and which programs are really bad for your kids, and to publicize it, to maybe go online and to just be a critical reviewer, yeah, as a team from a church. Again, that's my encouragement to you. I wouldn't have the time to do it. I'm just Michael. I pick up on stuff, but it's very difficult for me to put it through. But if you've got a youth team in your church, maybe you're part of a youth team, and this might be something you could do. It would be good for society. It would be good, you know, in the wider circle outside your church, for parents to warn parents of certain programs having a bad influence. And I mean, as a parent, you know how the world works, and you know what your kids need to do in order to do, you know, to survive. Don't even want to say to be successful, but to survive in this wicked and evil world. And if you can produce something, it can be of great help to parents to warn them or to, you know, push them into certain programs and to warn them from other programs and to just have some sort of league table of how bad the stuff is. Okay, now what do we do? You know the story. You know, you give a god, you give a dog, you give a dog a bone, yeah, an old bone, and the dog's really happy about it, and he's gonna get hold of his bone, and he's gonna carry it around and protect it, and you take it away from him, and you'll be in trouble. And yet, you give your dog a meaty new bone with lots of meat on it. You know, that's not dry and really juicy, and the dog will forget the old bone and go for the new one. And that's maybe something which we need to apply for our kids as well. In the end, all kids want is they want some attention, they want to be listened to, they want to spend time with adults and other kids as well, they want to play, and maybe it's time to sort of think about how we deal with our kids, also within a church context. You know, what do we do with our kids? You know, maybe we should maybe not just have one evening or one afternoon during the week where we get the kids in and we've got a Bible study. Maybe we should work on little projects where we get the kids in for maybe two, three, or even four evenings or a weekend, or, you know, get them in to do some stuff, or maybe just create an open house if the church is big enough to support this, yeah, to provide the supervision and everything and the guidance. So if you can get our kids away from decadent programs, from destructive programs, we need to give them something better. And very often, you know, maybe a scout group or a group of just getting together and doing something, of getting parents involved to do something, to take other kids on board as well. As a church, to offer facilities, rooms to cater for the kids. Maybe that's something which we should entertain and which we should do as a church for the wider community. And then obviously the most important thing is to teach our kids Christian values, Christian norms, and most importantly, and I haven't mentioned it as yet, but I should really mention it right at the beginning, to make sure they know the gospel. We cannot make the decision for them. We cannot force them to make a decision for Christ, you know, that they repent of their sins, come to Jesus and find redemption in him. But we can give them the knowledge that they can pick it up at any time in their life when they're ready to do so. Yeah, or hopefully when God is calling them. Yeah. So that is very, very important. Yeah. And again, we need to shape our kids in the way through maybe an alternative media, in a way that they learn the good stuff and not the bad stuff. Right, let's talk a little bit about war room activity. One thing we have established is that the secular media, the kids' programs these days are really, really bad. They're worse than what they were when I was a kid, and I'm going back about 40 years now. 40 years ago, relatively neutral. There was a little bit of communist propaganda, but nothing too detrimental. Nowadays, what we have is pretty rough, I think, where kids are taught from a young age to rebel and to enter the flood of dissipation, to grow up as youngsters without boundaries, as youngsters who haven't got a clue where right and where left is anymore, as youngsters who believe that they are in an entitlement position, that they are entitled to all sorts of stuff which reality says they are not. You have to work, you have to fight to survive, and that is still the fact, and it's getting more so as time goes on. And again, what should we do? We should maybe provide an alternative media, and it's not that hard to do. Again, it could be a war room exercise. It could be getting a church together, and it can be as simple as just creating a YouTube playlist with good, maybe Christian-based, animated, children-friendly films, which possibly are Bible-based, which carry a good moral. And there is lots of stuff out there. You know, there's lots of stuff out there. Create a playlist on YouTube. Make it long. Make it a couple of hundred hours long or something. And let your parents know about this playlist, that kids can watch it, and then kids can go home, they can turn on YouTube or on the television, turn on YouTube, get a Roku box or something, hook it up to YouTube, and then parents can control what kids can watch. And you can choose positive material for kids to watch. And that's something, again, if you've got a youth group in your church, you've got a bunch of teenagers who maybe understand this a little bit better, you can instruct them, you can guide them, and then you can set them out to, you know, search the net for good stuff, and then create a channel. Make this known to other churches as well. Let it be looked by, let it be used by a lot of parents, and maybe have like a channel that's friendly for, I don't know, 4 to 7 year olds, and then maybe one for 7 to 10, and maybe one for, you know, 10 to 14 or something, and then one for teenagers, you know, which is relevant, which is positive, which is good, which conveys biblical truth and a biblical message, and let them be exposed to that rather than to the rotten stuff which we find in the secular environment, which leads kids ultimately, which I believe, to depression, to serious problems, especially as they start entering the world of labor, the world of work, and totally ill prepares them for life. Right, that's my rant on the battle for the children. Why is it happening? It's very clear. We've got the enemy. The enemy is confusing people. One term for the devil is diabolos. Diabolos means the confounder, the confuser. There's a lot of confusion in this world where rebellion is turned into some heroic attribute. And very often rebellion goes so fast that people enter a self-destructive lifestyle where they end up being destroyed, marred, and marked for life. And it's not good, you know. It is not good. We need to create strong families. We need to create strong kids. We need to give our kids everything, you know, especially when they are at a young age, what they need to deal with the onslaught of life. We don't know. I don't know how long this is going to carry on. I know that Jesus is coming back soon. The signs are there. The Bible is clear. The end time signs are clearer than what they've ever been before. All I know is before this program is finished, you know, it could have happened. The rapture could have taken place, and you may hear this track, you know, after it's all happened, and you may have a period. We don't know how long the period is after the rapture. It could be 7 years. That's, I think, the minimum, the shortest period. But it could also be 10, could be 20, could be 30 years. We don't know. Yeah, there could be quite a long period of time until, you know, everything clicks in, everything is in place, and the great opponent of God comes on the scene, the so-called Antichrist, and has his wicked rule. You may find yourself that you're right in the middle of this time, and this is going to be the worst time you can ever imagine. There's the worst amount of deception going around. There will be periods which will be really, really hard, and you need more grace than ever before to keep your kids on the straight and narrow and to give them a chance to embrace eternal life and to not fall foul of the schemes of the devil, to become a dweller for the lake of fire, to become somebody who will have lost everything. Right, we've got a few more minutes to go. That's the media. I don't know what to say, you know, when I look at this generation. I fear, I'm worried. I'm worried for the kids who grow up in this time. And it really disturbs me when I see all this stuff. And I really think if we should do something about this. Okay, let's quickly, for the last couple of minutes, talk about the war room. And you may be a pastor, you may be a youngster, a teenager who's listening to this talk, and we are looking at the war room. All you need really is just a room you set aside. I would get a whiteboard, you know, some dry markers, and then set kids loose on projects. It doesn't have to be kids, can be anybody. You know, use this whiteboard on a project. Then get a bunch of computers in there, get an internet connection in your church, get you know, clearly formulate the target of what you're looking for. And in this instance, we are looking for, number one, identifying bad media and creating some sort of league table of, you know, where to steer our kids away from, you know, the programs they shouldn't really be watching. And then in contrast to that, create something positive, you know, create maybe playlists of good, wholesome children's entertainment, you know, possibly Bible-oriented entertainment. Create channels which are for particular age groups and let them watch it, you know. Create something positive and good for children. I mean, children don't care whether it's coming in via a television channel or you use your TV at home and you maybe use a YouTube channel with a playlist, which is very easy to create, where you can put everything together and it just goes from one to the next. Kids don't care about this stuff. How can you get YouTube on your television? An easy way to do it is get a Roku box and then you install YouTube on your Roku box, which is a fairly straightforward way to do it. And then you can have YouTube on your TV, your big TV, whatever you have. And again, as a church, you can create a YouTube channel. You can create playlists. You can put all the good films on there. And you might have your 3-4 playlists. You could just, tick on and it'll automatically work its way through as films are played. The last thing, we've got about a minute left, I want to talk about. You can create your own films as well. You can make them child-friendly. You can, you know, little bit of camera equipment. You can get your youth to produce some good and wholesome children's programs. You know, some sketches which portray biblical stories, which you may use in church anyway. You may as well film them and stick them on there. You may do some educational stuff as well. You may have story time. They used to be on radio, on Shortwave Radio. It was actually quite good. And I forgot what the lady was called, but it was just a storyteller. And she just, got some kids around, and she was just telling them stories. And the lady, she was a really good narrator, a really good speaker. They recorded it, and obviously it was recorded in a studio, probably not for real within, in front of a kid's audience. And she was just telling, you know, fairy tales and little stories to kids, you know, sometimes stories about how kids have experienced the Lord and miracles, say, or answers to prayers they have experienced. And she was just telling those stories, and I can't think of her name. I still remember the voice and everything. And that ran for years on shortwave radio. Now, shortwave radio is not the best medium, but I'm sure if you could dig into it, you know, storytellers and so on, you might be able to put something really interesting stuff together and also possibly have a radio channel for kids where kids can just listen on their smartphones or whatever to a child-friendly radio channel, giving them good, encouraging stories about God, about Jesus, and making it count. Anyway, lots of stuff for you to do, guys. Get into it. Get stuck into it. Let me know as well if you latch onto it, if you do some stuff. It would be great to use this platform to share with others your success and also the troubles and the pitfalls you've been through. Anyway, thank you for listening. Let's pray. Lord, we pray, Father, for war rooms to shoot up all over the world. Lord, where media, where Christian media is produced, where Christian media is distributed, and where kids are taught the right way, where they are taught to walk in the ways of God rather than in the ways of this world. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.